Okay, friends, I don't know if you can relate, but as we start to enter into the fall season, it also feels like we're entering into the busy season. The schedules feel a little more packed, and the meetings are a little more back to back to back. And in the past, I've noticed that with that, my health and nutrition kind of takes a backseat, which is why I'm so happy to have Factors, no mess, no prep meals in my back pocket. I always know that I can meet my wellness goals with Factor, with their chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, because Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, I always have time to enjoy those nutritious, great tasting meals that I need. So make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? Factor has 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week. You'll always have a new flavor to explore. And you can crush your wellness goals this month with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust, which is so important. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use code barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50 at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
Manipulative relationships and manipulative people encourage you to doubt yourself. If you're a person that doubts yourself, this is for you.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It's me, Michelle, and I'm here with my mom, Barb, and we're back again for another conversation. Hopefully this week we have something in store for you all that will be exciting for all. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How is it going?
It's going great. I am, as always, really happy to see you and be sitting here having a conversation with you. And I think I say this every single week, and I mean it straight from my heart. I'm excited to talk about the topic we have planned for today.
It's funny that you say you're excited to see me and be with me as if we are not 95% of the time looking at each other and being with each other in this season of life.
Well, it has been, it is summer.
But in this context, it's lovely to be with you and be with our listeners.
This is one of my favorite things in my life, so it's very fun. Plus, it is summer, so I've been doing a fair amount of traveling. So yes, it's great to see you.
Great to see you.
It's a good conversation coming your way, everyone.
It is. We've had this idea for today's show and the upcoming shows for quite a while. And we figured now is as good of time as ever to let everyone have it. So we're going to do a little bit of a series for the next few episodes. And let's see how it goes. She looks excited.
Yeah, I am excited because it's we say this all the time. I know you and I were talking about this last week off the podcast. We're just saying, wow, we get so many messages about so many different things in life. But this one with the things that surround this topic is huge. We get this all the time. There is some version of this in almost every single DM or every single email.
Yeah,
or
and the times that we're living in, for sure, this is up. And it is interesting because we were talking recently about our work in general, and for whatever reason, it seems like on social media, on the podcast, on when we give workshops, people are really drawn to the quote negative aspects of life as far as topics. You know, I think so far our most listened to episode of the show since inception is about disrespect. And, you know, we could do an episode of like five things that make us feel so good every day from the inside out. And for whatever reason, those kinds of topics don't get the numbers as like the spicier ones do. And so, and I get it because life is hard and we want to know about the difficult stuff. And so we've got some really difficult stuff that we're going to talk about today and in the upcoming weeks, because we know that that's something that people are looking for and yearning for, and especially in the times right now with everything going on in our country, in the world, you know, personally, of course, community-wise, there's just a lot of tricky dynamics at play when it comes to relationships, how we relate to each other in our work lives. And I really am excited to dive into this because I hope that it'll be helpful for everyone.
And I think to comment a little bit more on what you said about how it's usually the more difficult topics that we talk about that people are most interested in. And I actually get that.
I get it.
And you know what?
There was no judgment.
No.
I'm just saying, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. No, I didn't think you had any judgment because I agree with you. I think though, what just struck me when you said that is we were at a concert the other night and someone came up to us and said, "Oh, I know you guys. I listen to you guys. I listen to your podcast. I follow you on social media and you are helping me so much in my relationship because I'm struggling." And I think that's kind of the genesis of just about every single comment we get, because this is what we share. We share so many of our own, everything we share is our life experience, but we share so much of the, as you say, the most important topics that life has, usually to start every episode that we do. So all of us are always looking for how to live life better, how to have more inner peace, or how to feel more connected, or how to manage all the difficulties that life does send our way. And 99% of it, well, probably 100%, because we're in relationship with everything, not just people, is surrounding relationships. So yeah, today I love
right.
it. So this little series that we're going to do is going to be very helpful, and I'm excited to talk about it because we have so much to share.
Sure do, Mom.
So
we want to start off a series on the concept and the dynamic of manipulation. That is a huge aspect of our lives as far as feeling manipulated and being on the lookout for manipulative tendencies, and then subsequently identifying manipulative behaviors in our relationships, and then of course turning the focus inward. How are we manipulative towards others as well? I think when you think about this show and our listeners and for ourselves, are always trying to identify and become more aware of aspects of our lives that we can tweak or do better with or learn from or grow from. And the concept of manipulation is a huge piece in that puzzle. And there's so many aspects of manipulation, which is why we wanted to kind of have a series, because there's different tactics and techniques and signs to look out for. And there's just so much to say. And so I'm really excited to start today with the conversation of manipulation and what to look for and how does it feel and what are some of the sneaky aspects of life where it comes into play. Even if it's not necessarily, you know, our first instinct, our minds go to manipulation is from evil people who are trying to control you. But there's also sneaky ways that we can be manipulative without necessarily bad intentions. And so we're going to kind of cover all of it and really hope to get to the root of it and bring some awareness and some tools and some takeaways and some tips about this topic, because it is something that I think we all find ourselves dealing with, especially right now.
That was beautifully said, Michelle. I'm so happy that this is how you started this conversation, because for me, yes, we all can be manipulative at some time in our lives, but it's very sneaky. And it is very, I think most of the time, very difficult to name, because first of all, manipulation has a negative context for most people, obviously. And so we if we are being manipulative ourselves, it's hard to even identify it because it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound okay. It sounds like there's something wrong with us or we're doing something bad. And how I like to look at manipulation and what it changed in my life when I started looking at ways that I was being manipulated, how I was being manipulative, and then I could actually start to feel and see how ways that I was being manipulated in relationships is really manipulation is all about control. And so we all can relate to control. I don't know if there's anyone on the planet that can't actually sit, you know, for a second and say, yeah, I want to try to control the outside world, or yeah, I want to try to control how this person feels about me. Yeah, I married this person and there are so many things about them that aren't quite right for me, but I'm hoping that they'll change, you know, control and change. So when you look at manipulation, for me, in that context, that we're trying to control how a person acts. We're trying to control how a person thinks about us. We're trying to control the outcome of a situation. Control is such a massive thing in our lives. So if we start to look at it in terms of control, we might start to be a little bit more gentle with ourselves and open with ourselves to see where are places in our lives that we are actually trying to manipulate as well, and vice versa. Where are we being manipulated? And as you said, you use that word sneaky. I agree with you. Manipulation is kind of sneaky. We don't quite call it that necessarily, and we don't quite know what to make of it sometimes. But basically, it's seeking control and getting what we want, in essence. And oftentimes, thinking that we can actually change another person or actually not be okay if the outcome isn't what we hope it would be. So we're really trying to manipulate the situation and oftentimes to be what we want it to be. Because I realized I didn't have enough faith and trust in myself that I could handle whatever negativity or whatever outcome wasn't what I hoped it would be. So I was losing faith and trust in myself. So sometimes when we're not feeling at our best, we may try to control it a whole lot more than we need to, and that we actually can.
I think it's really interesting to start off this conversation to really name what manipulation is, and using that word that we use in so many episodes, which is control, and kind of drilling deeper into that, because as we've talked about so often, we can't control anything in life. We can't predict anything that's going to happen. We can't force people to behave in a specific way. So it's fascinating for me to think about manipulation as an outcome as human beings to try and fix that truth about life. We can't control anything, but we're going to try. And manipulation seems to be that thing that rises to the surface in an effort to try and find some semblance of control. And so I think when you look at it through that lens, not all manipulation necessarily is malicious. It's not always coming from a bad intent or a negative intent or an evil intent. At least from this particular perspective, manipulation seems to be kind of like a desperation tool in a world that's so unmanageable. And I think it's just fascinating to even identify that. Yes, I think of manipulation as a spectrum. There's obviously like narcissism and people who have ill intentions and will, you know, do whatever they can to make things their way. But then I also think the other side of the spectrum is just people feeling like they're at the mercy of the external world and are just so desperate to try and have a semblance of a say. And manipulation can rise to the surface.
I agree, Michelle. And I think in this series or in these episodes to follow, we're going to focus a lot on the negative and the destructive and the oftentimes narcissistic, as you said, or the places in life where people are using it to gain control over others. But I agree. And my hope in this conversation is that people will look at it, that if you are feeling what you were saying, I love that you said you are feeling, if you're feeling a little bit like, I'm so out of control, my life is so out of control, I don't feel like I have any power, because manipulation is about power. I don't feel like I have any of these things. So I love that you use that word desperation.
I think I just said that because I think it can start from a place of desperation and maybe hardship, and maybe over time lead up to that more devious or sinister form of manipulation over time. But it's just always interesting. We always like to get to the root of things. And I think so often it can start in this place of just, I'm looking for something to help me. What is the first thing I can see that makes sense? And without it going checked, you know, we always are talking about awareness on this show. And it's just, yes, we're talking about people in the external world who show manipulative tendencies, but also, okay, how can we look at areas in our life where maybe that has crept in as well? So I just wasn't, I was just saying, I think it's a spectrum, but I think when we don't have awareness of it, even within ourselves, it can build just like any other habit or tendency in life that we talk about.
I'm so happy the way you framed all of this. And I think you're right. If it goes unchecked, it can build for sure. And it can turn into something that's not in any way, shape or form helpful for anyone. And I think for me, in looking at the manipulation, as I've looked at places in my life, usually it has come from a form of being in a relationship that is not healthy, that doesn't have the boundaries that I need to, quote, protect myself, or to make sure that I'm being in alignment with who I am and having my own strength and my own confidence and my own power. And usually when I've been in relationships where I'm being manipulated, I've given away my power. So it's been in situations where the whole goal of the manipulative person is to gain power over me or to gain power over this situation. And it can be in workplace. It can be in personal relationships. It can be anywhere. It can be in life. It can be in communities. So any place where you see people trying to gain power over others, or personal gain, personal power at the expense of other people. And I think that's the little bit of the difference. I think when we're talking about your idea of we all can be manipulative, I would say often if it's not in that extreme category, you're right. We're trying to just have some semblance of power, some semblance of, wow, I've got to have my footing here somewhere. So I think for our conversation today, I think the end goal of most manipulative behavior is to gain personal or professional power and control.
And I was just going to say too, systems of life.
Yes.
Lead to manipulative behaviors. Like you said, trying to get power and control. We live in a world where power is everything, where control is everything, where status is everything. So when you're constantly feeling that competition or that drive or that even survival mechanism, you know, I can think of, like we said, desperation can lead to manipulative behaviors. If you're trying to survive in a world that's maybe pushing you down, you're going to manipulate something to try and live. And so I think when you think about the systems with which we live in, the dynamics of life are the way the world works, it's no wonder that manipulation is a tactic.
Yes.
And so I think knowing that it's everywhere, knowing that it's a spectrum, knowing that it can have really evil connotations, and sometimes it's just for strictly
survival.
What do we do with it?
Right.
How do we start to identify it? How do we see it within ourselves? How do we notice it within others? How does it make us feel? And what can we do knowing that it is in our everyday lives?
I love this so much, Michelle. I knew I was so excited about this conversation because it's no wonder that the number one or number two, way up there in the top couple the past few years, has been setting boundaries. And our favorite person that we love so much, Nedra Glover Tawab, has written several New York Times best-selling books on boundaries. Because if you are a person that you start to recognize that, hey, I am manipulating here and there, but I don't want to do that. I'm feeling like I have to do it to survive. That's a really good clue to start looking at the relationships that you're in and what is happening within the relationships that you're in. So I think this is a good place for our conversation to start talking about what are some of the common manipulative behaviors, because this is what's helped me the most. And one of the things that really popped up for me over the years, because I have to admit, I've chosen many relationships in my life, personal, romantic, and friendships, where I've been in very manipulative situations. And so what has helped me so much over the years in looking at all of these contexts of these relationships, the one that sticks out the most for me, and I think we could go through many of them that you and I have been talking about for a while, is that manipulative relationships and manipulative people encourage you to doubt yourself. If you're a person that doubts yourself, this is for you. And I was a person that doubted myself all the time. I always succumbed to, I'm not as smart as everyone else, because I grew up in such a traumatic, dysfunctional, alcoholic home as a child. It was very easy for me to fall into the trap that I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. Oh, maybe this other person does know better. Oh, maybe they know what's better in my best interests. Oh, I was told often, you just don't understand, Barbara. You just don't understand. Like, oh, it's beyond you. You just don't understand. You're not smart enough to understand, is how I interpret it. And you start to believe it. You start to get it, that I'm less than. That the people that were manipulative in the relationships that I had, I'm less than. So as to go exactly with what you were saying, so when you start to feel less than, you're kind of grabbing at straws to where can I actually have a little bit of say or a little bit of power in my life? And I just wanted to say, so I think that manipulators use this technique more often than not to get us to stop being who we are. I know for me, when I look at it, to get us to stop doing something that they don't like, or to get us to stop being who we are. And I think it happens so often and it's repeated that you really believe it.
So what I hear you saying is that if you're finding yourself in situations with people in your family, in your workplace, in your relationships, where you leave a conversation feeling like you're doubting yourself or questioning yourself, that's a sign that you might be in a manipulative situation.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Like if you're more often than not thinking that you're doing something wrong, I need to fix myself. Oh, maybe I don't really understand. Everybody else seems to understand, because then that goes hand in hand. A person that is repeatedly telling you that you don't understand, or that they want to stop you from doing something or being who you are, kind of what goes hand in hand in that they use the comparison. Well, your best friend Joan doesn't act that way. You know, can you be a little bit more like her? Or my coworker, they seem to understand what I'm saying when I'm at work. How come you can't understand what I'm saying? So they're pointing out what someone else is capable of doing in a way to highlight your shortcomings or what is wrong with you, and well, making you feel less than. And so if you think about those two together, for me in particular, it was a toxic combination of two things. And then I think the most incredible thing that happens is when you get so frustrated or you get so upset or you start to cry or you start to feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know. There is something wrong with me. I just don't know what to do with myself. Oh my gosh. And I don't know why you're treating me this way. I don't know why you're telling me these things. They come at you with, I'm just trying to motivate you to be a better version of who you are. I'm just trying to motivate you to be happy. Nothing I do ever makes you happy. You're just never happy. So it's always your fault. And there's always something that you are doing. So now you're at your lowest and you're crying and you're kind of saying, what, you know, please, I didn't know, what do I do here? I'm lost. And they come at you with, well, I'm just trying to motivate you. See, you can't even be happy with me trying to motivate you. It's a very tricky, slippery slope. I've been on it a long time here and there throughout my entire life. And it's a very tricky slope. And then you even feel worse. And then usually I would go to my room and cry even more and want to be with myself and just keep saying, what is the matter with me? I knew that, you know, and all those things. But then eventually, as it happens more and more and more, hopefully the awareness starts to come with, wait a minute, I'm really successful at my job, or I really am a good, kind person. I am loving. I am caring. You know, you start to, a little tiny bit, the window starts to open and you can start to pick away at it a little bit and say, wait a minute, something's up here. But that's a long haul and it's a long road, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And what's interesting about what you just said is it seems like the manipulative techniques of picking at aspects of your life or pointing out things and casting doubt and making you doubt yourself or believe that there's something wrong and creating a void for a manipulator to fill with whatever they want and leaving you feeling confused so that you just have to be like, oh, I don't even know what I think, I guess, or what's the right, but this person is really confident in what they're saying, so I'm just going to go along with it, really seems to be a powerful manipulative equation because they're messing with their psyche.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking to someone and they're saying all these things and they're chipping away and breaking you down and making you question yourself and making you question your abilities and your discernment. But then the cherry on top is but I'm just trying to help you, that charm or that faux sincerity or compassion or care. It's no wonder that so many of us fall into being manipulated. I mean, listening to you talk just now, I could think of so many times in my life that have had similar dynamics where it's just, it's just such an easy mental dynamic to fall into, especially if you're, I don't know, a kind, empathetic person, you want to trust and believe people. It's pretty wild.
It is. And I think if you're also a person that you want to be able to trust, like you were saying, and you want to believe that people are genuinely good. And I think that you're invested in the relationship, whether it's romantic or friendship or family, you're invested in the relationship and you want it to work. You don't want it to end for the most part. You don't want it to be over. You want it to work. So you're looking at all the ways, how can I make this work? What can I do? I just think that we do that. We kind of internalize, what can I do? And especially if we don't have boundaries or we don't have any sense of what is happening and what can I do? We kind of grasp at straws, I think you said earlier. And then what ends up happening, I think for me, I mean, I can list all, when I think back on all the past of one relationship in particular, but there have been several, of course, that I'm talking about where I love that you said they charm you. They start to charm you. They start to, I remember a certain relationship, romantic relationship, that they would start to give me compliments and out of the blue, and I wouldn't quite know how to take it. And I would think there's something wrong with me that I can't take a compliment. And then they would get angry with me. Well, see, I'm telling you how pretty you are. I'm telling you how smart you are. I'm telling you, you just need to get over yourself. I mean, these are all the sentences and all the words. You're the problem.
Nothing's ever good enough.
Nothing's ever good enough for you. I'm praising you. And I, you know, you just don't believe me. You don't trust me. And then we really start to feel even worse. And all the while the person, because how it played out for me, all the while the person is wanting me to do what they want me to do. They're wanting me to be what they want me to be. And so it's very tricky to navigate all of these waters. That's why I think we've waited a couple of years to even talk about manipulation. And I think, you know, having come out of my divorce and really looking at my whole life, especially the past 33 years, it's key. No wonder Nedra spent so much of her energy and your time talking about boundaries. And I'm so grateful for her because she has helped me tremendously. And I think we could put some of her stuff in the show notes. She's helped me tremendously because when you go from the charm, I'm telling you, I'm praising you and I'm complimenting. When you go from that, what happens next? You start feeling guilty. Then I really thought I was the problem. I really thought, wow, I feel so guilty. The other person now is the victim. Look at what I'm doing to you.
Yeah.
So the whole story gets flipped on its end. And I become the guilty party because look what I'm doing to you. I can't even be happy myself. You're doing all these wonderful things for me. And you're telling me how many times you've helped me. You're telling me how many times you praised me. You're telling me all these things. So I start to feel guilty. And you talk about cherry on top or piece de resistance. It's the, now I feel like I owe them.
Wow, look at her French.
Now I feel like I owe them. Like what? Oh my gosh, I really owe you. Who would I be without you? And this is the whole goal of the true narcissistic manipulator. I owe you now for everything that I am and who I am. So it's really so, you know, it's hard to get out of something like that. And hope if this is making any sense to all of you listening or to some of you listening or whatever, it's hard. And one of my other desires for this conversation is that you start to be gentle with yourself. Wow. Look at what's happening. Not to feel like a victim, but we have been victimized. When you are with a true narcissistic manipulator or someone who truly is trying to have power and control over you, we are being victimized, but we can never claim that title of victim because then we go down the rabbit hole of all of these things we're talking about, doubting ourselves, all the things.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've listened to the show, you've heard my mom and I talk about how much therapy has impacted both of our lives. We've basically been in therapy for our entire lives, but we also know how difficult it can be and feel to actually get therapy into our lives, whether it's a busy schedule or not knowing where to go or who to trust or just the financial component and commitment therapy actually is. We know it's challenging just to get started. But we also want to reiterate how beneficial therapy can be, whether working through our issues or really understanding who we are and what we want in life. As I've said, therapy is a game changer. And so if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest. If you ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy, don't worry. I am right there with you, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you all to Sunbasket. Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, and no more grocery shopping, which was a big plus for me. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free, all featuring organic fresh produce, which is super important to us. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for each and every week. They even have a pre-made meal option as well that are just as tasty and ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you have to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. And I'm so thrilled to share a special offer for our lovely listeners. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest. to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new to you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
So I have a question. I was thinking about, as you were talking, certain situations in my life where I've felt manipulated. And a example in a past relationship came to mind. And I'm just wondering your thoughts. Because I think sometimes it's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's just all so layered. And I think sometimes manipulators think that, like you said, they're trying to help. They're trying to help you. They're trying to help the whole situation. They're doing the dirty work to make everything okay. And so I think sometimes they look at it like they're the martyr. They're the champion for, oh, look at them. They're dealing with this person and they're just trying to help them. And oh, wow. Like that they're the victor in the situation. Because I remember when I was in a relationship in my past, it was very dysfunctional and codependent. And I was young in my 20s. And so drinking was a huge, huge component in our lives and in our social setting. And as we've talked about on episodes in the show, like I have a dysfunctional relationship with drinking. And when I was in that period of my life, especially in my early 20s, I was, you know, going through a lot and processing a lot. My dad had died unexpectedly. And so I would say after my dad died, almost every time I would drink, I would get sad. I became one of those people that just cried or, you know, it just affected me in a lot of different ways. And I just remember I was thinking about a time where in that period, I felt like in my relationship, this person was telling me like, you're embarrassing. You can't keep doing this. When are you going to get it together? Like, can't we just go out and you not have an issue and all of those things? And it just felt so confusing for me because I wasn't trying to be a problem and I wasn't trying to create drama. And my whole question is, I think that person who was manipulating me in the situation of, can't you just act a certain way when we go out with these people and be normal, was viewing himself as problem solving. And so I'm just wondering, what is your take on that? As far as, I think people think that they're just trying to help. And what is that on the scale? Because I know that constantly feeling like I was having to perform a certain way in front of certain people to live up to a certain expectation and having that pressure, like I was always being judged or graded on my performance or how I showed up, and living in that fear that I was always going to mess something up or embarrass myself, made me feel so confused and doubting of myself, or like always questioning my worthiness or my place. And I guess this was a long winding question, but I know that that other person thought that they were doing the right thing in that situation. So I'm just curious of your thoughts about that, actually.
Well, that is very layered. I guess, how do you know that they were, how do you know they thought they were doing the right thing? I think that's what's so sneaky and insidious about the idea.
I know the person. I think that person thought, you know.
I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. No, I think my.
But I'm just saying, I can see so many situations where you're in a relationship with someone. There's an issue. That person is, you know, behind the scenes saying, da, 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 point, point, point. Look, I'm just trying to help her. She doesn't want, like you were saying before, but they're looking at it as they're this, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with this person who has so many problems and I'm trying to help them and she just can't get it together.
I guess it's the language that you said he said, you know, Michelle, you're so embarrassing. You're so this, you're so that. It's you. You're so, instead of, honey, you know, I really love you. Let's talk. What can I do? And like,
right, that's fair.
Yeah. I think it's the language and I think it's how the person is that really matters and how make, so I, here's, let's back up for just a second. I believe, now we're talking about manipulation on a spectrum. So we're not talking about people that truly do care. And I guess that's where I had a pause there with your example. I'm not saying that your relationship with him, that he didn't care, but he mattered more. Like your relationship, his relationship with you did not matter as much as his relationship with himself and his need to control or his need to be the person that was like in control or having the power or, because no one says to someone they really love and care about, you're embarrassing me, what's the matter with you? After your dad just died. So you have to look at the whole context. I just don't buy that as, and if there are people in life that are very loving and caring and their embarrassment is not enough to put you down and to make you feel less than. So I believe strongly after all my years of work and study and practice and being manipulated, and I have manipulated, of course, in my own life, as you talked about in the very beginning of the show, but being manipulated to the nth degree several times in very major relationships, one being a 33-year marriage, I believe people that are master manipulators are very emotionally intelligent people. And I think they key in pretty quickly on weaknesses of the other person and how, what is the trigger? And certainly that would have been a trigger for you. You're embarrassing me. How come you keep acting this way? It would have been a, it's been a trigger for me as well. And then they use that to, then they get it. Oh, wow. This weakness or this thing that's happening to Michelle or that, you know, looking at my own life that's happening to me then gets used against me all the time in any situation. And so it's very interesting to see how, I think we have to look at the language that the other person is saying and the behavior that the other person is doing. And so what happened for me in my relationship was that very highly emotionally intelligent, quickly spotted my weaknesses and started using them against me. And then what it sounds like you just said that he said to you, then they start giving you ultimatums. And if it doesn't come straight out, I'm leaving you, it's certainly an ultimatum to say, you're embarrassing me. Can't you get yourself together and stuff like that?
Well, I would get, oh, they're not going to want you around. You're not going to be invited to things.
There you go. And so what happens is then you get the threats. And I was a front row seat to having the threats. So it all just weaves together. I hope all of you listening can see how this, if it's a true massive manipulator, it all just weaves together. You know, they're charming, but they also threaten to leave you. And how can you do this to me? And what is the matter with you? Your friends don't do this to you. Your friends don't act this way. What's happening for you? Can't you be more like them? And then one of the things that ended up happening for me quite often when they didn't get their way or when whatever was happening in the moment, start getting angry and start making a scene in front of other people. We could be out to dinner at a restaurant and just a really nasty barb might come across my way at the table. It's like, what? You don't even know how to respond to something like that in the moment. And so it's very, you know, it's so hard. It's so hard because when they start to feel like the victim, they start complaining like what you're saying in this incident, then they use the anger or they use their frustration of you're not going to be invited anymore and you're a reflection of me, basically, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
They use their frustration to get you to stop doing something or to start believing that you're the problem. Like, just fix yourself, damn it. I mean, that's
what I...
Well,
I think, too, erode your... Like we talked about last week of losing yourself, erode your sense of self because clearly this person knows better than I do about how I'm being perceived and how I'm showing up in the world and they seem to know better. So now I have to believe everything they say about me.
Exactly. And so they start to make a scene. They make it really dramatic and they start to make a scene so that you'll stop. You know, stop being you. You know, what's the matter with you? Don't you know I love you? Is that not enough for you? I mean, it just goes down the path, all those things, you know, and you start feeling less than, and then as you so bravely have talked about so much about your dysfunctional relationship with alcohol, it makes you want to drink more. You know, it doesn't help. It doesn't help when someone says to you, what is the matter with you? Can't you get yourself together? You're embarrassing me. People aren't going to invite us anymore. What is the matter with you? I can't be around you anymore unless you change or unless you do something about your problem because you are the problem. I mean, it's a never ending thing. And then you go to the bedroom and you start crying, you start drinking more, you start doing whatever. And you come out, I'm so sorry. I know I'll do better next time. I'm so sorry. And basically, please don't leave me. Please don't do this. Please. I mean, it's such a vicious cycle of untruths, of dysfunction, of trauma, of drama, and of power and control. Those are the things that I have learned. And it doesn't get any better. It only can get worse. It doesn't get any better. It can only get worse until you decide to stand up and step up and say, wait, this is who I am. This is what I want. This is what I love about you. This is what a relationship, what a healthy relationship looks like for me. Let's have a conversation about it. And the other person, if they say, wow, you know what? I would love to do that because I love you too. Let's talk. But my experience has been, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. We've been talking about this for 20 years. Are you ready to fix yourself? Mm-hmm. Are you ready to see what I've been talking about all these years? That would be a great thing. But that's not what you're saying. I'm not saying I'm ready to fix myself. I'm ready to say, let's talk about how we got to this place where we are and see what we can jointly, compassionately, lovingly do about it. And I believe, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know for me that has never happened in the real manipulative relationships, especially the marriage that I just got out of. That has never happened. And this is not to say that it can't, but I think when you go so long allowing yourself to be controlled and manipulated and not loving yourself enough, and it's not that you're a victim. I just believe that it starts from what you and I talk about so much. We really have to stop and start working and looking at ourselves, becoming aware, wow, what is happening for me in this moment? And that is so hard. We need people in our lives that won't abandon us or take us down, that will really listen to us and be there to support us and love us. We may need some therapy. We may need to, I know for me, getting out of treatment for bulimia, I went to 12-step programs for decades and other community resource groups. We actually need to go seek help from people who've been there that can actually affirm for us that, hey, you're not the problem. No one is ever 100% the problem. Even if you're an alcoholic, even if you're a drug addict, even if you're just... I shouldn't say no one is ever not the problem. I think that everyone, if you have developed some awareness of yourself and how you contribute to the dysfunction of a relationship, it's great. That's what's needed. I don't know if that happens often enough in order to be able to move through some of the things that are happening in relationships. And I'm talking mostly for myself.
Well, I think too, forgive yourself or be gentle with yourself for perhaps being someone who is maybe easily manipulated or finds yourself in situations where you're being manipulated. Because I think, too, another dynamic of manipulation that we haven't touched upon yet in this episode, but I know we will, is the people that come to you in an authority stance or in a educational stance of, I know something that you don't know, and I'm going to teach you about something that you don't know, and I'm going to show you the right way because I have this information that you don't. In any sort of situation of life, there's the guilt and the doubt and the comparison and the charm, but then there's also this aspect of, I have this kind of information that nobody else has, and I'm going to share it with you. And this is information that's going to change your life, or it's going to be something that nobody else knows, and I'm sharing it with you because you're special and I'm special. It's like that specialness, but also this information. And I think that's a dynamic a lot of us find ourselves in right now with the internet and influencers and politics and everything, because there's so much information everywhere. We're always having to discern what's true and what's not. And we're always looking for solutions and reasons to make sense of life, especially in such a chaotic situation, life that we find ourselves in right now. And so when people come to you and say, this is the reason for this, no one's talking about this, but I am, and I've found that this, and this is what's really going on, or no one knows about this, but I do. That also is a huge hook and manipulative tactic to get, I think a lot of cults start like that. Even with my time in the wellness world, there would often be hooks of, oh, this is the one thing that you're doing in your wellness routine that's causing you to not have any fulfill any of your goals or be healthy, and I'm going to teach you what it is. That's a really common dynamic right now, I think, in so many different aspects of life, because so many of us are desperate for answers or solutions, health, wellness, politics, society, justice, all of those things. And I think it's important to look out for too, the people that claim to have all the answers or all the solutions or information that only they have and no one else has, and that, they'll give it to you if you do what they want you to do.
Wow, that's beautifully said, Michelle. It's so accurate. And it's, I don't even know where to go with that, because there's so much, is to use your words, it's so layered.
It's just something else to look out for.
Well, and I think it's what I want to share about that is that it's true. And it's making me think back on, we just did an episode last week on losing yourself. And so this is, it's so tricky, because we have to, in order for us not to lose ourselves, or in order for us not to get sucked into what you're just saying, a manipulative relationship, a community, a cult, this or that, one person telling you this is the one thing you have to do in order to save your life, one person telling you that if you do this, it's going to cause you to lose your life, or you're not going to be healthy, or you're not going to be able to have a relationship, or whatever it is. It's no wonder that we all are looking for that magic pill or that magic thing that's going to be the thing that we need to get better, but it actually has to happen. You said, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Has to happen the other way first. We have to have a deep knowing of who we are and what we want, and be strong enough to be able to little by little by little own it, become aware of it, and use it, and not allow ourselves to get sucked in thinking that someone else always knows better, or there's something wrong with me and I need to get fixed. So I think when we're talking about manipulation, that's why I think it's so prevalent.
And also, religion too is a huge piece. We were recently having a whole conversation about salvation. I think when you think of religion and saying you can only be saved if you do this, and this.
Well, we were having that conversation. I was part of a meditation center for a while in my early years, and one of the people there, one of the quote teachers, or one of the people that was advocating this particular practice, said to me one day, because I had so many questions that I wasn't just quite getting it, what they were trying to say. And they looked at me and she said, your salvation depends on this.
Wild.
And so I'll never forget, I froze. And I'm so grateful that I had come out of treatment already and that I had a semblance of a practice and I had the 12-step program. I was so grateful in that moment. I thought, what? My salvation doesn't depend on anybody telling me what my salvation depends on. And so it was, and I left that day. I would never went back. And that's hard. I mean, I had already the bedding. I had therapy. I had being in recovery from bulimia. I had a foundation already of starting to, wow, I love myself. I'm starting to really like who I am. I'm not feeling as at the mercy of and all of those things. So it's really hard when someone says that to you, that this is the truth, because people lie to get you to do what it is they want you to do, or they'll make excuses or they'll blame you. Oh, your problem is that you're not doing this, 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 and this. If you just did this, you would be as happy as I am.
Well, having someone say to you, your salvation depends on this, yeah, is
wild.
I mean, that's the ultimate.
Yeah.
Talk about layers.
Yeah. So what was that? That was 17 years ago. That was 2007. I'll never forget it. It was a magical transformation for me. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Like you said, thank goodness you had the therapy and the space to know that that was, because that's a very easy thing to fall into of, wow, yeah, I have to listen because I'm not, I want to be saved.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
But that's, you know, in the religious sphere, cults,
everything.
Like that's a huge piece of it.
Corporate world. I mean, salvation can mean a lot of things. Your livelihood, you know, your relationships. It just means, it can mean a prominent, powerful thing to anyone in a different realm. It's all the realms. But as I finish this piece up, because the whole point is to gain power over you and to say they're smarter than you. As you were saying, Michelle, I know the answers, you don't. I'm going to give you the secret. You just do exactly what I'm telling you to do, and that's the secret. So the whole point is to gain the power, to have you feel like, wow, I want the secret. I'm not as smart as you are anyway. Please tell me. And they withhold certain facts and they withhold certain truths and they do, everything is such a manipulative tactic of what do I need to say? What do I need to do here? How do I need to present myself? What kind of charisma and charm do I need to have to get you to follow me or to get you to understand that I know best?
Right.
And not just follow, if we go back to a relationship, whether it be work, a coworker, whether it be romantic or whether it be friendship, whether it be family, I need you to buy into that I know what's true and that I know how to fix things and that I know how to handle things and that I'm the master or I'm the person that's in charge. I'm the one with the power. I'm the one with the control. And your life will be just great if you listen to me and do as I say. And I think what changed for me in that moment when that person said to me, your salvation depends on it, what really changed for me in that moment was that anyone that tells me what to do, instead of showing me their experiences in a truthful, honest way of how they got to where they are. Because let's face it, when someone is like that, they're projecting this happiness and joy and success and wealth and all the things. But they're telling me what to do. That's always since that 2007. I don't want to be told what to do. I want you to show me. I want you to walk me through your experiences, your truth of how you got to where you are right now so that I can actually honor it in a truthful way and see if it's for me. So any teacher, any boss, any person that tells me what to do is a red flag for me today. And so I, as a person sharing my experiences and you and I as mother, daughter sharing our experiences on this podcast, we're just trying to show you what works for us. If it doesn't resonate for you, leave it. Please don't take it. We want you to be the most grounded version of who you are and comfortable in your own skin and find the happiness in your life from the inside out. We want all of this for you. It's why we do this podcast. It's why we do our work. It's why I do my practice, is for me to be the best version of who I am. So if we ever say anything that doesn't ring true, leave it right here. Don't take it. Don't own it as yourself. Don't take it on as you. We're just showing you. So I believe if anyone ever says, tells you, do what I do, you know, do what I say, not what I'm doing.
But do as I say, not as I do.
Because that person that told me that this is your salvation wasn't actually doing what she was saying. It's kind of like, make sure you're looking at the actions and not just the words of people. Because big manipulators like to generalize. They like to exaggerate. They like to blame. They like to make excuses. And they, as I said earlier, they strategically, I believe, in my own experience, they share some facts, but they withhold other truths.
Mm-hmm. So true.
To gain power over you, over me, because they're smarter and they know better.
Yeah.
So.
Wild.
Yeah.
So that's a really, we've really gone through a lot today. And I think it's.
Well, to be continued. This is what I love about this being kind of a series, to be continued.
Yeah. We're going to continue the conversation and dive into some tactics, as we said, in the next few weeks that I'm excited about. But just to recap for everyone for today about manipulation, because I know we said a lot and it might be a lot to digest.
Yeah, recap the common behaviors. Yes, I love it, Michelle. Just
remember that manipulation is just a part of life. And so I think even having that mindset of like, we're not going to get rid of it. So let's just think about how we're going to manage it. And remembering that it's a spectrum, remembering that it comes out of dysfunctional or unjust situations, and not being hard on yourself or judging yourself if you found yourself in manipulative situations where you're being manipulated. And even if you've been the manipulator, like we'll talk about it that in another episode too, of sometimes, you know, we've fallen into roles of being manipulative ourselves. So none of this is about judgment. It's just about awareness, like we talk about in every single episode. But some of the key things to look out for to identify manipulative situations are when people do things or say things that make you doubt yourself, or when they compare you with other people, or when they claim to have information that you don't, they're smarter than you and they can get you to where you want to be, but only they can do it. Or they make you feel guilty about things that you've said or done and are going to show you the way to make it better.
And you end up feeling like you owe them.
Like you owe them. When people give you ultimatums, do this or this. And then, of course, that charm of, I'm just trying to help you. Why aren't you listening to me?
I'm showering you with all these praise and compliments and, you know, what's wrong with you? Why can't you accept that?
Those are really some of the peak manipulative dynamics that we've come across.
And lastly, for me, if anyone tells you that you are the problem, for me, they're saying it's all on me and they have no responsibility here in this relationship. Red flag. You may have some issues, you may have some problems, but you are not the problem. Red flag.
Yeah. It's really when people speak in, what's the word?
Absolutes.
Absolutes.
When people speak in absolutes.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you are the problem. I am the solution.
Yeah.
You are bad. I am good. This is right. This is wrong. I do believe that life is in the gray. And so just look out for those grandiose claims.
Very good. Thank you, Michelle. Fasten
Thanks,
your seatbelts, everyone.
Have fun.
We've got the
summer of manipulation.
We have some great episodes ahead. And thank you so much, Michelle, for always being so vulnerable and open.
Thank you, Mom. Likewise.
And thank you all for being here. I love you so, so much.
Yes. Let us know, too, since this is going to be, my mom drops her mic. Let us know if what you think about this and the questions, since this is going to be an ongoing conversation. We'd love to hear from you. So, as always, the best way to ask us questions, comments, concerns, podcast topic requests is to make sure that you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. Send us a message. That's always the best way to stay in touch. Also, make sure that you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. You look like you want to say something.
I just want to say, do you want to tease what our first, one of our first signs of manipulation tactics?
Wow,
tease the next episode?
Sure, Mom. Go ahead.
We are going to talk about gaslighting.
There she
goes. I had never heard about gaslighting until a few years ago. I didn't even know that that word existed. We are going to talk about gaslighting, so stay tuned.
Thanks, Mom.
I know. I'm so excited.
Anyways, where was I? If you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. And of course, there's a link in the show notes to sign up for our Substack and newsletter so that you're always up to date on all of the things that we have in store for you all. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we'll chat with you next week about gaslighting because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.